just a reality. And I thought about this song that Miss Denise had us sing at Brother Hadley's memorial. And it's such a song that ministers to people. And I thought, you know, what a good time to sing this song. Others have had loved ones pass away. And I will miss Brother Guy, which from a personal standpoint, because we're such good friends over the years, 40-some years we knew this family. So this is a song. What key did I say it again?
What it's written, you said.
Oh, yeah, A-flat. What day that would be.
There is coming a day when no heartache shall come, no more clouds in the sky, no more tears to dim the eye. All is peace forevermore on that happy golden shore. What a day, glorious day that will be. What a day. And I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land, what a day, glorious day that will be. There'll be no sorrow there, no more burdens to bear, no more sin.
I want us to this morning to go to the book of Joshua, and for those of you who things kind of sneak up on you and you don't realize it, a year ago today, Faith Independent Baptist Church made a big decision. Now, again, we're not sure how all that going to work out. We're still working, but you know, you made a decision to have me come and be your pastor. And a year ago today, I became the pastor of Faith Independent Baptist Church. And I want to tell you, all, I love you.
Amen.
Truly, from the bottom of my heart. You know, it seems like Tammy and I, we were talking about this the other day. It seems like we've been here forever. And just want to thank you all for taking us in and giving us an opportunity to serve you and to be your pastor. And I preached in Joshua chapter 1 a year ago, and we talked about how God changes leadership. Yes, you all voted and had us come, but you know, to be honest with you, it was God's choice. It was God's ideal, and it's really unique. All throughout the Bible, you see God, and I talked about this a year ago, how God changes leadership, and sometimes God changes leadership because they're bad leaders. And they were leading the people in contrary and in the wrong direction. And Saul in the children of Israel. And again, that had a lot to do with the children of Israel and their heart's desire. They wanted a king. God had the judges, and God wanted to be their God and rule them. And they decided, no, we want to be like all of the other countries around us. We want a king. And so, well, God gave them what they wanted, and it didn't go very well for them. And God wound up changing the leadership there. Because Saul was not doing a good job, Saul was doing a very bad job. Saul took the children of Israel away from God. And away from the things of God instead of to God, and so God changed that leadership and brought in David. And there's many examples in the Bible where God changes leadership. And now praise the Lord, just so y'all don't misunderstand my illustration there. I was not meaning in any way that Brother Jones was a bad leadership. And I'm getting there because I kind of look at Brother Jones like Moses. A man that did what God wanted him to do. Brought the children of Israel. I mean, you think about what Moses did for the children of Israel. And really, if you kind of think about the history of the church, you know, for those of you who have been here for quite a while, and you think of when Brother Jones came in, where the church was at. Just about non-existent. No money, a handful of people, a building falling down around, And God brought in a man of God to lead the children of God in a direction. And praise the Lord, God and Brother Jones's leadership, the church, when I became the pastor, walked into a good foundation, a good group of people, a building that was paid for, and a church with no debt. You know, I'll tell you what, folks, that is a very rare thing in this world today. Many churches are very steep into debt because they're building up instead of building out. And I thank the Lord for Brother Jones and his leadership. Why did God change the leadership? Well, because God uses men that follow him to take the church to a direction that it needs to go. But when God decides that there needs to be a direction change, or that God wants something else for the church to do, there comes a point when God changes the leadership. One day, I'm going to be standing up here, and I'm going to be preaching my last message as your pastor, and we're going to put someone up here that's a little bit younger that will be taking the church over as pastor. But what we're going to do is we're going to allow God to do that. And I want to admonish you all and thank you all for following God's leadership. And doing what God wanted. And so the example we have here in the Bible is, God used Moses to bring the children of Israel out of Egypt. You know, the children of Israel in Egypt, they were in bondage. They were slaves. They were being beat. They were being mistreated. And God wanted to deliver his people. So he sent a man called Moses, and Moses went into Egypt. He brought them out of Egypt, but then he brought them to the wilderness. And in the wilderness, God did some really interesting things. In the wilderness, God began to weed out. Because we all remember very well, and we all know the story very well, how Moses brought the children of Israel out of Egypt, and he brought them, as the Bible says, he brought them through the wilderness. You know, there was another way for the children of Israel to go. But you see, God knew what the children of Israel needed. God knew that there were some rebels in the crowd. God knew that there were some people that were not going to follow his direction. God knew that there was going to be some instruction that needed to be done. And as we think of how God led the children of Israel out of Egypt and the mighty force and power that he did so. But yet, there was those folks that they chose not to look at that. They chose not to focus on God's great power and how God delivered them by a mighty hand, brought them out of Egypt with everything that they would need to continue on to what God had for them. But you know, they got the murmuring, they got the complaining. You know, it wasn't good enough, or any time anything, any kind of ripple in the water would come along, you know, they'd get upset and they'd murmur and complain. And then they got to the point when God said, okay, it's time to go over into the promised land, and that's where I want you to go. Well, you know, that group of people, they, as we know the story, sent over 12 spies. And those 12 spies came back, and 10 gave a bad report. You know, they talked about how wonderful the land was and how good the land was and how it was plenteous, but they also pointed out the giants and the obstacles and the problems, and 10 of those spies said, well, there's just no way we're able to do it. But you see, they could have. They could have went across because God had promised that he would go. And of course, there were two spies that gave a good report, but the majority of the people decided that they weren't going anywhere. And so they wound up another 40 years in the wilderness. You know what that time was? That was a time of teaching. That was a time of weeding out those who didn't want to follow God as God would have them go. And then after 40 years and God doing some weeding out, God brought along Joshua. And Joshua's job was to go ahead and take the children of Israel into the promised land. And to take the children of Israel where they needed to go. I put here in my notes here next to the Egypt to the I put down here time to move and from Egypt to the wilderness. There was some weeding out time. And then from the wilderness to Shittim, which Joshua, as he stepped up, he took the children of Israel from the wilderness to Shittim, and then he also sent out some spies. But this time he only sent out two spies. And he sent them, and they went, and they brought back a report, much like the report was when the other spies went out. But you know what their attitude was then? God's promised, God's going to give it, and we're going to come out victorious. And so I put next to there, you know, the spies sent out. And then from Shittim to Jordan, you know, they were sitting there in the land of Shittim as they were sitting there, and the spies were sent out. But then as the spies come back, it was time to move out. It was time to move on. And do what God had intended for them to do. Do what God wanted them to do. And what Joshua did is he took the children of Israel to Jordan's edge. And, you know, and I, again, just kind of making some application here this morning. I believe with all my heart God used Brother Jones to bring Faith Independent Baptist Church from Egypt to the wilderness. Because there were some things that needed to learn. There were some things that needed to be done. There was some weeding out that needed to be done. And then over this past year, I believe with all my heart, God brought me in to bring you from the wilderness to a place called Shittim. And you know, that was a place of preparation. That was a place where they got as close to the Jordan as they'd ever been before. And the spies were sent out, and things were getting ready, and preparation was being made for a further journey for the children of Israel to take the step of faith that they needed to take. And so God used Joshua to bring them to that point. You know, it's really kind of interesting. A lot of things that, as I think about this past year, and we've made some cosmetic changes. We've painted some walls. Put up some things, take down some things, and for those of you who haven't noticed or figured it out, it was funny. We even changed the direction on the bathroom doors, And I remember the first day we did that. After we did that, and kind of give a little bit more privacy, so the doors opened up. Now the only difficult time is when you go in, the light switch is not in the right spot. But I'm going to tell on him. I was sitting back there and I was watching. I wanted to see how many people would notice. And Brother Carl came in, and he headed towards the bathroom door, and he reached out, went right past the doorknob, which normally was on the right side. Or wasn't normally on the right side, and he headed all the way to the left where that doorknob used to be, and he kind of went like this. He was looking for that doorknob, not even realizing that the door no longer opened the way it did before. And praise the Lord, he did get in there anyhow. And but you know, in the past year we've done some things. We have spent some time praying. We have spent some time fellowshipping together. We've spent some time, cleaning up outside, inside, getting things prepared and ready. And again, all of it was being done for a reason. We took on a scripture project, and where we had the Gospels of John and Romans with our church name on them, and praise the Lord, we knocked out one subdivision. And of course, by the way, this summer we've still got some scriptures left, and we got a couple more subdivisions to knock out in the area. And but why did we do all these things? You know, and we put up a new map in the back. Why did we put up? Why are we doing all these things? It's all in preparation for what I believe God has for our church. And folks, there come a time after the spies came back that Joshua told the children of Israel, it's time to move. Let's look at Joshua chapter 3 and verse number 1. And the Bible says here, and Joshua rose up early in the morning, and they removed from Shittim and came to Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they passed over. And it came to pass that after 3 days that the officers went through the host. And they commanded the people, saying, when ye see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then ye shall remove from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a place between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that ye may know the way by which ye must go, for ye have not passed this way hitherto. And Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we come to you in prayer this morning, Lord, and I pray that you would help me to convey to your people what it is you would have us to do. Lord, I pray that you would be with the needs that are represented in this room. Lord, I pray that you would be with the physical needs. Lord, I pray that you'd be with the spiritual needs. Father, I pray that you would be with that one that's sitting there this morning and know that they're not saved, and they know that if they were to die in the seat they're sitting in, they'd not spend eternity in heaven. Father, I pray that they would respond to the invitation today, and Lord, let someone show them how they can know for sure that they would go to heaven. And Father, I just pray that you would help me now and help our church, Lord, as we get ready to move. Lord, as we get ready to do the things that we need to do. And Father, we just pray that your will would be done, and we'll love and thank you for it. In your name we pray. Amen. As we looked at the scripture here, I just kind of want to point out some things as we go along here. The Bible says, and Joshua rose up early in the morning and removed from Shittim and came to Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they passed. You know, that's where I come up with the thought of where we are today. God allowed my wife and I, Tammy and I, to come and be here. And you know what we've been doing for the past year? We've been right on the edge of Jordan. We've been right there. And you know what we've been doing for the past year? We've been doing some preparing. You know, the fellowships were for a reason. The prayer times were for a reason. Calling the men aside and spending extra time with them was all for a reason. And that reason is for what God has for Faith Independent Baptist Church. What our next move is in the direction as a church that we need to go. And again, the lodging here in Joshua, that Joshua did, was to get everybody ready before they passed over. And the Bible says that after 3 days, that in verse number 2, after 3 days, that the officers went through the host. You know, yesterday morning, we had a wonderful time in our men's prayer breakfast, and I sat down with the men and I shared with them some things that and direction that I would like to see our church go. You say, well, why did you do it? Why did you start there? Why did you do it with just them? Why didn't you address the whole congregation? Well, you know what I'm doing, folks, is and what I've been working on and preparing. Officers, leaders, men that are willing to stand up and make a difference for the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we sat down and we spent some time talking about some things and some things we'd like to see to come about. You say, well, why just the men? Well, you know, when you start moving in God's direction and you get some men excited about what God's doing, it's a whole lot easier to get the rest of the people moving. You know, and if we can get men that are head of their homes following the Lord, you know what? We'll get some ladies that'll come along with us and help us out. And so there's been purpose. There's been some directions. And again, I'm looking for men that will be willing to stand up. And the Bible says here that the officers went through the host. Now look what the officers did in verse number 3. And they commanded the people, saying, when ye see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests and the Levites bearing it, then ye shall remove from this place and go after it. You know, this is really important. As I've shared with you before, and when I first come to be your pastor, I can't build a church alone. God never intended me to build this church alone. God put a good foundation through Brother Jones and some good things to for us to build on and go further than we've ever gone before. And folks, right now where we stand, sky's the limit. Sky's the limit. We're not under bondage. We don't know anything on our building. God has given us funds to do things. What we need to do now is we need to act on that. And what I found really interesting here, and what I've been working on the past year, is building a relationship with men, because we need men to stand up as officers of the church, or as leaders of the church, and command the people. Now again, we kind of look at that word command and we kind of think, well, you know, hey, I'm not going to have Brother Randy tell me what I can and cannot do. No, we're not talking about that. What we're talking about is men that'll stand up and say, hey, come follow me. Come follow me. We're heading out. We're going to do some things. We're going to start reaching the community for the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to get ready and catch this one, guys. We're going to start bringing in children from the community on a van to come to church. Come on, let's go. Let's go do it. Let's go get it done. And so the men went through and they commanded. You know, if we stay, church, if we stay where we are, we'll wind up going backwards. We'll wind up going backwards. And so what is very important is that we follow the instructions. And again, the officers came through and they commanded the people, and they gave the people instruction. They gave them important instruction. They said, when you see the ark, the covenant of the Lord your God. You know, they weren't saying, hey, let's just jump out here on a whim. Let's just jump out here with no instruction. Let's just jump out here and run by chance. You know what the officers was telling the people? Hey, when you see the covenant of the Lord your God, when God gives instruction in the Word, let's go. Now again, and they were very clear on how things were to go. It says the covenant of the Lord, and the and they said there, when the priest and the Levites bear it, then shall ye remove from your place and go after it. And again, when you see it, when you see it from God's word, when it's shared with you, follow it. Go. The Bible says you're to remove from the place you are. You know, sometimes what happens in a church is we get very comfortable of where we are. We get very comfortable with coming. We get very comfortable with singing. We get very comfortable with the seat that we sit in. And dare any visitor come in and sit in our spot. You know, what I tell our visitors all the time is you're a visitor, so if you see a spot and you like it and somebody's sitting in it, tell them, move over, pastor said so. And, you know, because what happens, and again, I do the same thing. You know, at home, I have a place I sit. You know, I'll eat supper and I go to the same chair. You know, we like routine. We like those things that are same thing all the time. But you know, in a church setting, that's not a really good thing, because what happens is we get comfortable. When we start getting comfortable, you know what we start doing? We go to sleep. We stop hearing what we're supposed to hear. You know, it's really interesting. I give you another example of what I'm trying to get at. You know, it's like your life being, you know, the cup and God pouring in. You know, that cup's only going to get so full. And then it's going to start spilling out and being wasted. And you know what's going to happen? God's going to stop putting it in there. Because you know what God expects you to do? God expects you to use it. God expects you to go further. And when we stop, and let me get back to the instruction of these men here. What's really interesting is you see in verse number 4, he gives they not only tell them that they're to move, but they tell them how close they're to follow. And again, it says, yet there shall be a space between you and it, the covenant, the Lord, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that ye may know the way by which ye must go. You know, there was some further instruction given there. And what that instruction was is make sure you keep yourself in a position that you can see where the ark of the Lord is going, so you'll know which direction you're going. You see, because that ark, they picked it up, and those men were bearing it, and they were going to go across the river, and they were going to take the children to the other side. And you needed to make sure in that day that you were back far enough where you could see where that's going. Because you know what we don't want to do? We don't want to get ahead of God. We don't want to get, we don't want to get to the place where we're getting ahead of where God wants us to be. Because, see, God has a time, and God has a place, and God has a reason. And, you know, most of the time, I'm clueless of why until after it takes place. So they gave the instructions of how far to be, and the purpose of that is so that to not come near it, that ye may know that by which ye must go, for ye have not passed this way hithertofore. You know the reason is they didn't want to get too close. Didn't want to get to a point where because you've not been there before, that you wind up in the wrong spot. You see, I really believe with all my heart. Now, I know some of you all have, and some of the things that we're going to be talking about here in the near future, you all have had, at one point or another, been there before, done that. And in fact, you know, I've talked about getting a van route started where we go out in the community, and you know, some folks have even said, well, you know, Pastor, we've done that before. It doesn't work. Yeah, it does. It really does. It really works. You know what happened? The reason it stopped working? Because we stopped going. We stopped getting involved. You know, and because it's going to take some things out of us. It's going to take some time. But God's plan always works. The Bible says that we're to go into the world. We're to go out, and we're to go to all the world and preach the gospel of every creature. We're to go out the door. You know, what's church for? Church is to prepare you to go. Praise the Lord when people come in and they get saved. And I'd like to see a lot more of that. I'd like to see some people start walking the aisle and get saved. But you know how we're going to see that? Is when we go out and we compel them to come in. And they get under the preaching of the Word of God. They get under the preaching of the gospel. You know what we're going to see? We're going to start seeing movement. We're going to start seeing movement up here. And we're going to start seeing movement in the baptistry again. But there's a procedure. There's a plan. There's a direction. And what we want to do is we want to make sure that we're following God, and we don't get ahead of God, that we're following Him. So the instruction was given is we're heading some places that we've not been there before. You know, as I was thinking about that, I was thinking about our day and time we're in right now. Ain't none of us ever been here before. You know, we're going to have to do some things. We're going to do some of the things we used to do, and I'll give you a good example of that. We're going to start a van route. You know, years ago, when we had in the bus ministry that I worked in, we had a grand old time. We'd go down and we'd knock on doors, and moms, they'd send their kids out to church, and I know several bus routes I had were in downtown Cincinnati on Eastern Avenue. One was in Madisonville, and a lot of times I'd go out there in the morning. Mom and Dad would be passed out in their room, drunk. I would go in, I'd go in that apartment, I'd get those kids up, get them ready, put a note on the door and say, your child is at this address. We took him to church, and that was a perfect, acceptable thing, and we did it all the time. But you know, we're going to have to do things a little bit differently. It doesn't work that way anymore. I would that it did. But you know, we're going to have to do some things differently. We're going to have to back up. You know, that doesn't mean we quit the bus route. That doesn't mean we quit outreach. That doesn't mean we quit trying. That just means we back up and we follow the time. You know, for a long time, many of you all have been Sunday school teachers. We need more Sunday school teachers. Amen. If we're going to bring in kids from outside, and we are, we need people here to teach them. But you see, it's not like it used to be. We got to do some things differently because everybody's suspicious. And unfortunately, sad to say, rightfully so. And so we're going to have to do some things differently. We're going to have to do some things that might make us feel a little bit uncomfortable, like going through a background check. You say, well, I've got nothing to hide. Well, praise God. Do the background check. You say, well, why are we going to do a background check? I'm fine. Well, what we want to be able to do is when we knock on that door and say, Mom, will you send your little precious kids to Sunday school? Hey, let me tell you, your children are safe. Because the teacher they're going to be with has been checked out, a background check, and you have nothing to worry about. I told this to one of the men the other day, just why we're on this subject. I told him, I said, what people need to understand is they better be a little bit more afraid of me than the police. Because when the police gets there, I'm going to be the one arrested, and it's going to be arrested for murder. And but anyway, so why are we going to do things differently? Well, we're in a different time. But that doesn't mean we stop. That doesn't mean we quit. That just means we back up and we go a different direction. And we still go out and we still pick. And so, as the Scripture tells us, we need to back up and we need to look at the Scriptures. We need to follow some things because we're heading down a direction that we're not going to be. And you know, when we head down this direction, folks, we're going to have people that are going to get mad. We're going to have government officials that are not going to like it. And we're going to need to know how to deal with it. You know, it may even bring some negative response to our church. You say, well, hey, if it's going to do that, then maybe we ought not do it. No. That's why we need to do it. These children out here don't stand a chance if we don't go. These children out here will die and spend eternity in hell if we don't go. They're our future missionaries. You say, well, Jesus is coming. We don't have to worry about it. Well, let's worry about it until Jesus comes. Amen. Let's not quit now and wait for him to come. Let's get busy and prepare for his coming. And you see, there's a lot of little kids out there that'll go on to do great and mighty things for the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what they're waiting for? Hello, I'm from Faith Independent Baptist Church. And we're starting a van route in this area. We want to know, do you got some children that you'd like to send to church? That's it. That's all they're waiting on. They're waiting for on us to come to them. You say, well, why don't they come? Well, first of all, many of them don't know they're supposed to come. Many of them, they just don't know. And again, the command tells us to go. So we're gonna go to some areas that we've never been before. And the Bible says here in verse number 5, and Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Joshua was telling the children of Israel here, need to get some things right, people. Sanctify yourselves. Again, what he's talking about there is preparation. But also, he was talking about getting some things straight and right. You know, in order for some of y'all to become Sunday school teachers, there's some things in your life that's going to need change. Now, wait a minute, preacher. I don't know that I like that. Well, let me ask you this. When you're standing before the Lord Jesus Christ, and he asks you, well, why didn't you teach that group of 9-year-old boys? Well, Lord, you know, got to understand, in order to teach them boys, I'm going to have to change some areas in my life. I'm going to have to quit some habits that I've got. And Lord, you know, Saturday was the only day that I have, and I was going to have to go visit those kids on Saturday. So, you know, hey, come on, Lord, you know. Can you imagine standing before God and saying that? I can't. I can't. And you know what? That excuse isn't going to work. See, the Bible says here, that Joshua told the people, he said, you're going to have to sanctify. You need to sanctify yourselves. And again, the way it's said there, sanctify yourselves. He wasn't talking about saving themselves because we know that they can't do that. What he was talking about here is you're going to have to change your ways. You're going to have to change what you're doing. You're going to have to mold yourself around God instead of expecting God to mold himself around you. You know, I thank the Lord that, and I've shared this with you many times in the home that I grew up in. The most important thing to my mom and dad was going to church on Sunday, and not only going to church and sitting in a pew, but going to church and being involved. My dad drove a church bus for 37 years. No matter what the weather was, we were on that church bus, and there are children, there are young people, there are families that are saved, young men that are in the ministry, young ladies that are serving the Lord, and many great things happened because my dad went out and got on a church bus and brought some children in. There are some preacher boys that are preaching the Word of God today that my mom taught in Sunday school. Some of them are ornery. You're looking at one of them. Amen. My pastor told me the first message I ever preached in homiletics class, it was supposed to last 15 minutes. It lasted, if I was lucky, 5 minutes. I didn't have my points right, and it was all messed up. I followed some guys that they were from Georgia, and they'd been preaching since they'd been in diapers. And their outlines were perfect, and their messages were wonderful. And I really felt bad that day. But my pastor got up after that class was over, and he said, "I'm giving Mark an A." He said, "It's the worst message I've ever heard." He said, "The scripture didn't match the outline, what outline there was." He said, "But you know, I pictured Mark Moore behind bars than behind a pulpit. But you know what? I had some Sunday school teachers. I had a man by the name of Jim Parrock as a young man. I was a young teenage boy. And not too many people wanted much to do with me because I was hard to get along with. I was mean. But you know what Jim Parrock did for me? He looked past that. Taught me in Sunday school, but not only taught me in Sunday school, invited me over to his home. Spent time with me. Had his daughter play the piano and encouraged me to sing. Encouraged me in the Lord. I thank the Lord for that. I thank the Lord for a man who was willing to take of his time over and above and beyond anything else to see to me. You know, the Bible says, you know, Joshua told the people, he said, "You're going to have to sanctify yourself. There's some things that you're going to have to change." And then he said, "For tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among us." Tomorrow. You know what I want to see God do in our church? I want to see God honored and glorified in our church. I want to see God do some great and mighty things. I covet the day when people come in and walk down this aisle and accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. I'm looking forward to the day, men, when we have our first young man come up here and stand and we lay hands on him, send him out as a missionary or a preacher in another church. Tomorrow. You see, sanctify ourselves today, because tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among us. You know what's holding God back from blessing our church more than he's already blessed our church? Us. Do I have all of the answers? No. Are we going to run into some battles along the way? You know the area that Joshua took the children of Israel? You know what was right across from Shittim? Just right over on the other side of Jordan? Jericho. Joshua did not lead the children of Israel to that area by accident, because Jericho was the first battle. And the people sanctified themselves. They crossed. God did wonders and delivered to them without them raising a sword. Gave them the city of Jericho. Great, wondrous victory. But you know, after Jericho, people kind of got a little ahead of themselves, or at least one guy did. Achan. And then there was the battle of Ai. You see, is there going to be situations along the way? Is there problems we're going to encounter? Yes, we are. Do I have all the answers for you right now on how we're going to deal with those problems? No. But you know what I have faith in? I have faith in God. You know what I've seen God do in the past? Stop the rain. I've seen God deliver me from a dangerous situation by using a cow. I won't take time, and I've told y'all some of these stories. I won't take time to tell them again, at least today. I've seen God prevent a man from pulling the trigger on a gun and shooting me. I've seen God do some great and wonderful things. I've seen God take a man who had the testimony of a drunk, beating his wife, and the most dishonest man in town. And God get a hold of that man's heart. He quit drinking, he quit smoking, he quit beating his wife, he got faithful in church and became the treasurer of the church. And was able to witness to the mayor of the town because of the testimony of what God did in his life. I remember the day on downtown Cincinnati on Eastern Avenue, and I don't know where he is today, but I remember today leading to the Lord one of the biggest drug dealers on Eastern Avenue. And God changing his life and doing wonderful things in his life. You see, I've seen God do a lot of great things. You see, that's why I can rest assured I don't have all the answers. I don't know how it's all going to work out. But if we'll follow, the ark, if we'll follow the word of God, and if we'll go and if we'll move, if we'll do what God says for us to do, even though we don't understand why or how, even if we look at it and we say, well, you know, hey, finances, what we want to do here, they don't match. You see, sometimes what God's going to do is he's going to wait to give it to us until we step out on faith. Can I just share this testimony with you? See the Bible I have in my hand? It's printed by a local church. Many years ago, at First Baptist Church in Milford, our pastor got up and presented us with something that God wanted to do in our church, and that was to print the Word of God. An impossible task for about 300 people. But today, we didn't know where the money was going to come from. We didn't know how it was going to get done. I was a 10-year-old boy I have a New Testament at home that was printed on a press that the company that made the press said it was impossible to print what you're trying to print on that press. Guess what? God did the impossible. And today, that same church puts out millions of scriptures worldwide. Why? Because Pastor King got up and said, if we have to write it out by hand, we will produce the Word of God. You see, even that many years ago, what we were doing is we were preserving the Word of God for ourselves. We were preserving the King James Bible because even that many years ago, everybody was trying to change it and do away with it. But you know what came of a burden of that? Is making sure that the Word of God got in the hands of other people. And just a couple of weeks ago, they had a dedication of another press in the print shop over there. Now, I'm not talking about a little press. I'm talking about two presses over there that would not fit in this auditorium. Each one of them paid for. It's not that First Baptist Church is a wealthy, rich church. God blessed and stepped out on, when we stepped out on faith, and when the church stepped out on faith, God took care of everything. God provided when the need come. And I guess what I want to tell you folks is we need to create some need. We need to create some need. And God will take care of it. God will take care of it. Will you follow me to the next step? What's the next step for Faith Independent Baptist Church? Crossing Jordan. Crossing Jordan. We're right here. You see, just like Joshua, he took the children of Israel. They were right there on the brink. The battle was on the other side. The victory was on the other side. And what I'm asking you as a church, will you go with me? Will you go with me? And I guarantee you, God's going to do some wondrous things on the other side. But as long as we stay here, we're going to shrivel off, die, and I promise you, the doors will close. It don't matter how good a preacher or bad preacher I am, it won't keep those doors open. The only way those doors are going to stay open is if we go. So will you go with me? Brother Chuck, if you'll come. Brother Dave, y'all come, and Sister Helen will do the invitation. Will you partner with us, folks? If you're here today and you're not saved, will you come today? You say saved, you didn't really mention a whole lot about that preacher. I know I didn't. But being saved is putting your faith and trust in Jesus Christ and what He did for you on Calvary. Asking forgiveness for your sins and believing that He is the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me is what the Word of God said, or what Jesus said. And you know, that is the only way to heaven. So if you're here today and you're not sure about your eternity, will you come today? Let us take the Word of God, and what we'll do is we'll show you how you can be saved. If you're here today and God's moving in your heart, will you partner with us? Will you partner with us? You're here today, we need some Sunday school teachers. We need some bus workers, van workers. We need some people that'll go out and knock on doors on Saturday. We need some people that'll go and knock on doors during the week. Doesn't have to just be on Saturday. But we got to move. Will you partner with me today?